Welcome back in. Final hour. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, an interesting piece put together by our friend David Beauclair from SI.com, highlighting Derrick Henry, who, by the way, eclipsed the 7,000 career rush total, rushing yards total mark on Sunday. Now at 7,103 for his career after his 122-yard performance against the Colts on Sunday. But David Beauclair putting a piece together that, according to the numbers, maybe Derrick Henry's exactly where he needs to be this time of the year. You look back at 2019 and 2020, and David Beauclair from SI.com put these numbers together. Right now, Derrick Henry's at 306 yards through four games rushing the football. Back in 2019, at the same point, he was at 310 yards. And in 2020, 319 yards when he became the first player in more than a decade to win back-to-back NFL rushing titles. So the NFL rushing champion in 2019, NFL rushing champion in 2020. And from a yardage standpoint through this point, he's basically right on track with where he was then. So, Joe, what do you make of those numbers that David Beauclair has thrown out there and what that means potentially for Derrick Henry is hopefully he's getting ramped up if the last 2 weeks are any indication of the way he's running the football?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because there's very different situations in those years. 19, disastrous O-line early. Lawan is suspended for PEDs. Jameel Douglas is starting at right guard. You know, Nate Davis is a rookie. He's not ready to go. Saffold is pretty bad early. People talking about a bust signing. Early in the Roger Saffold tenure, it was like, what is up with this guy? And, of course, he got very good. So, I mean, you just had like, I mean, think about some of the awful games they had early in that season with Mariota at the end of his QB timeline. They just couldn't do anything. So, that was a big part of it. In 20, now remember, so that's a key point to make is it was three games, right, for 20. And in 20, the offensive line had figured it out from the year before, was really good early. Pass protection was fantastic early in 20 before Lawan got the ACL. And the offense was great. I mean, the offense really for the entirety of the 2020 season got Arthur Smith the head coaching job in Atlanta, and was scoring 31 points a game and was lighting up the world. You know, Derrick Henry had bigger games as it went on. And so I think if there's a parallel and where there's hope here is that, you know, those numbers that Beauclair put in there in his story about Derrick's November and December numbers, I don't think that's some accident. I mean, I think that's a very clear explanation of what happens in a football season. Guys get banged up. Guys get tired. Teams get bad and get out of the playoffs. And fewer people feel like tackling number 22. And so I don't know if he's going to, you know, have the monster year, win the rushing title, have a bunch of long touchdowns this year. But the last 2 weeks, he's looked like a guy who's going to have some 100-yard games, punish some teams, and probably have bigger games as the season goes on. And that's great news for the Titans.
Oh, he looked explosive on Sunday. And, you know, that touchdown run, I keep going back and looking at it, the 19-yarder where he cuts around the corner there. I mean, just the burst to make the cut at the line of scrimmage, cut it back outside, and then the acceleration to get to the corner and outrun everybody. I mean, that's a really good sign. And then what you've thrown out there, which I think is something that's really going to be interesting to monitor if the Titans can keep doing it and Todd Downing keeps going with it. The last couple of weeks, they've really done a good job of getting him involved in the passing game and getting him some touches and some open space that way. And it wasn't perfect on Sunday. He dropped a couple of them, but three catches for 33 yards in that game. He had five for 58 the week before against the Raiders catching the football. You know, he's never going to be, you know, Austin Eckler or Alvin Kamara or anything out there, but getting him the ball in open space, it's almost like an extension of the running game that way. And another thing I think it does, Joe, it opens him up to not only the space, but also there's not nine guys running after him trying to blow his legs off every time early in the game like we've talked about with those early down runs that we've seen in the past.
Oh, yeah, man. If you're Derrick Henry and you have a choice of, okay, here's like DeForest Buckner and Zaire Franklin coming at you like a missile, and Grover Stewart, like, here, try to run through that thicket. Or would you like to have space and then Stephon Gilmore has to tackle you? You know, I mean, what are you going to pick? You know, I think they should keep this up. It looks like I thought maybe it was a Raiders game plan thing specifically. Vrabel talked about, you know, the umbrella opens up, you go to it. And at times it was just like, hey, those linebackers are taking deep drops. Go ahead and just give it to them. I love the play action. Just have them ready in the flat and just give them the ball out there a little bit, you know? I think, look, when you're Ryan Tannehill and you don't have A.J. Brown anymore out there, you don't have receivers who are winning decisively or running past people. It's nice to have 22 out there. Give him a little bit of space to get going, and you can get some bigger plays out of that. And if you get 4 or 5 yards, that's fine too.
Well, and then there's also the offensive line part of this as well. Obviously, Taylor Lewan goes down. Doesn't go well against Buffalo. The last two games, they've rebounded pretty nicely, especially running the football against the Raiders and against the Colts as well. But how is that going to hold up? What's that going to look like as they continue to move forward here? Number one, I think it's pretty clear they can't afford any more injuries on the offensive line. Once you lose Taylor Lewan, you need the rest of those guys to stay healthy for the most part. But I do think in the run game, they've done a pretty nice job the last couple of weeks of creating some more lanes for Derrick Henry. And I also think he's been more decisive and has been able to hit some of those lanes as well. But I do think it's been encouraging to see what the offensive line has opened up for him the last couple of weeks as well against the Raiders and the Colts.
Yeah, I mean, I think the offensive line is trending up, and I think some of that is also it's kind of like with Derrick Henry, you can kind of count on as the season goes on, some of those holes getting a little bit bigger, you know, some of those gains getting a little bit longer. I think with the Titans offensive line, the history has been that they get better through the course of the year, but I actually think that's a general offensive line thing in the NFL. I feel like every year in September, there's somebody who writes or talks about how much bad offensive line play there is in the league. And I think it has to do with the fact that there is, but also, you know, preseason, you don't have the preseason games like you did. You don't have a full half against an opponent like you used to for whatever that's worth. It used to be, obviously coaches used to value that. They don't do it anymore. You don't have full contact practice much. So it takes a little while, I think, for offensive lines to gel and get that precision going. And maybe the Titans are more a case of that than other teams. I don't know, but they look like they're getting better. And that's even with Lewan out, which is good. I mean, this team can't run the football on a pretty consistent basis, then it is going to be, again, needing to win 16, 13 games, which is not where you really want to be in the NFL.
You coming around on a little preseason football and then the importance in the regular season?
Well, even with that, it's like, I mean, if all the other teams are doing it, then okay. Then it's like, well, maybe you should do that. But since they aren't, if I'm Mike Vrabel and I'm already looking like every day, like, okay, who's hurt now? My answer is not going to be, you know what? Let's get some of these key guys out in some preseason games a little bit more. I don't think that's the way I'm going.
Probably not. So, Joe, we've talked about this with Derrick Henry, kind of keeping an open mind to what we're going to see from him this year. And, you know, I thought he was okay in the Giants game. I thought, you know, obviously the Buffalo game, it is what it is. Like, nobody got anything going, and they just got dominated in that game. He's looked much better in the Raiders game and in the Colts game as well. His yards per carry reflects that as well when you look at the numbers. So things are looking up for Derrick Henry. Do you feel dramatically different one way or the other about what we've seen from Derrick Henry the last two games in terms of what you think that could mean for him and exactly where he is right now in his career as they move forward here?
I feel different. Dramatic. I mean, I did, like, I said, keep an open mind. The Bills game, he had no place to go. The Giants game, that looked a little bit like, you know, there were some opportunities that he didn't take advantage of. But, yeah, I feel differently. He's looked really good the last 2 weeks, and that's huge news for the Titans. Even if it's 1,200-yard Derrick Henry with a long touchdown run of 36 yards as opposed to 80-yarders, that you'll take that. That's still that's still enough to win games and at least have a chance to get into the postseason, win the AFC South.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he looked great on Sunday, and I know the production just took an absolute nosedive in the second half. You know, is most of that on him, or is it on the offense as a whole? I'd probably lean probably the offense as a whole in the second half, but I thought he looked great on Sunday. So, to me, that's really encouraging as they move forward here. Now, can you keep it up? Like, can you know, there's an opportunity on Sunday, if you're the Titans, I think, to continue to have success running the football and to put up some points that way. Can you do it? Can he continue to build on these last two performances that he's had? That's going to be the question for the Titans as they move forward here. We'll take your thoughts on Derrick Henry at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. More discussion on King Henry coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Slingshot Me of Music City. Experience a whole new Nashville with a Polaris Slingshot rental. Let the amazing views take your breath away as you view the sights as never seen before in an open and aired auto cycle. Get a four-hour rental for only $115 at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Will from Nashville on the text line says, I agree, Henry looks great. He actually looks a touch lighter in the midsection. I don't know, maybe not. I hear y'all saying he looks a little bigger, so maybe I'm wrong. He just looks very light on his feet to me for Derrick Henry. This is from Will from Nashville. You noticed a big difference with Derrick Henry in the way he looks so far this year physically, Joe Rexroad? Looks pretty strong to me.
What has the midsection been except like a 12-pack or whatever, right?
It's 14 now.
Yeah.
Just keeps building.
I said before the season, and I definitely believe it, he looked like upper body, like shoulders, arms, actually got a little bit bigger. And, of course, early in the season, people were like, maybe he shouldn't have got bigger. But I agree. He looked quick. He looked fast. He looked powerful Sunday.
Well, the guy's always going to be in good shape. I think we feel good about that. Alex from Montreal on the text line says, are we overvaluing Taylor Lewan? Line isn't any better with him in it lately. And this has sent Joe onto a spiral on the text line and now a spiral on our video stream as well.
Well, this is how I answered Alex. I said, if you're going to make claims like that, you got to go back and watch the tape, the Titans with and without Lewan. With him, as a rule, they leave him there. He blocks some of the best pass rushers in the NFL. And when he's healthy, he usually does the job pretty well. Go back to the second half of last season after he kind of got over the ACL stuff. He was pretty good. Without him, pretty much constant help over there. There are 11 players on a football field. If you have to devote one to help your left tackle protect your quarterback, and then sometimes, you know, you gotta worry about both of them, that really limits what you can do on a football field. Guys, they're not better without Taylor Lewan. Are they better without Taylor Lewan early last season when he was coming back too early from the ACL and getting his butt kicked? Sure. I agree with that. Are they better without Taylor Lewan when he's suspended for PEDs? Yes. They'd rather, you know. I mean, but, like, when Taylor Lewan has been healthy in the last few years, I don't know where he ranks in the NFL, and I wish I had the exact numbers for you on, you know, the percentage of time he is left on an island as a left tackle, but I promise you it is a high percentage, and it is a low percentage when it's anybody else over there. Please stop saying that, like, they're just, all right, same thing without Taylor Lewan or with or without him. It doesn't matter now. He's probably done here. He may be done in the NFL, but it's just idiotic.
Joe, they're running the ball pretty well without Taylor Lewan.
Yes. Yes. That's the thing, too, is, I mean, Lewan in the run game, I mean, man, last year, once he got healthy, go back to the New England game. They got their butts kicked, but, like, Lewan is out there looking like a like a tight end running around, like blasting people 10 yards downfield, getting to a second guy, and they're running wild without Derrick Henry. But what, you know what? If you hate Taylor Lewan, if you hate that he has a podcast, then fine, say it. But like, this is we need like the wheel of we need like the preseason snaps. What else belongs on this? What else belongs on this wheel of death?
Well, you think if Taylor Lewan played in the preseason, maybe he'd have been able to be a little bit healthier this year? What do you think?
Yes. Man, he's wearing smoky grays. Yeah.
he'd be that's good. Didn't think of that. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Alex. Anyway, Alex, I'm sorry. You know, Alex was fine. Thanks for your time. He said, I guess I'm just frustrated at the injuries within the last few years. And I agree, Alex. I mean, look, it's unfortunate, you know? I mean, and it's over for him basically here, I think. I mean, maybe he'll take like a huge pay cut, come back, but he's probably done here. And look, the Titans have to find a real left tackle long-term to replace him. Like, you got to invest in that. It's really important.
Maybe it's Dylan Raiden. What do you think about that?
If he played more in the preseason, maybe.
I guess as much trolling as I can do for one segment. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Allie on the text line says, I love 22's performance, but I take back the times in past seasons that I screamed, throw to Derek, he's wide open. Did drop a couple of them on Sunday. Going to have to be a little bit more sure-handed as they move forward here.
He did catch three, though.
He did catch three.
He did catch three. So I'd keep throwing to him. And he's come a long way. It's not going to be perfect, but he's come a long way. As somebody during the game tweeted at me after that first catch, it was like, it's incredible how smooth he looks catching the ball. His hands have gotten so much better, and they immediately like dropped the next one. So, and then they were like tweeting at me like, why did I just say that?
You think teams are going to try to start taking that away from the Titans as they move forward here? I mean, it's not like he's had some 130-yard receiving game out there and is just lighting people up left and right, but they've moved the ball pretty effectively in each of the past two first halves with him catching the football.
Yeah. Well, I do think, you know, the screen game with him, without question, I mean, they had the touchdown at Cleveland in the 19 opener, right? But they had a couple other big moments that year with that throwback where they were killing teams. And then, like, I feel like every defensive coordinator in the league was like, okay, that play can't beat us. And then they, you know, like, they got stopped on a few times and they just shelved it. Now, if they get some big plays on screens to him, I could see defenses really starting to key in on that. But just the, you know, head out in the flat, you know, run a little route in the middle of the field, why not? You know, get him the ball with any kind of space, and it's worth exploring.
Brought this up earlier. You look at his workload, which we spend a lot of time talking about with Derrick Henry thus far. You know, the Giants game, 21 carries, 13 carries against Buffalo, 20 carries against Vegas, and then 22 this past week against Indianapolis. Not a huge workload, not a huge, you know, amount of carries for him thus far through four games. What do you make of that? How do you think that they've gotten to that in terms of maybe a little bit lighter usage than we're used to with Derrick Henry? And is that sustainable for this Titans team as they move forward here?
Well, I think he gets close to 30 Sunday if they don't just keep going three and out. So I think it's just situational. I think he'll have some big carry games, which would speak to more success probably in the second half of a game if he gets there, because he was probably going to do, you know, 14 and 14 for about 150 had they been able to just string together some plays offensively and keep the ball at all. But instead they go three straight three and outs, gain a total of 5 yards. And so that cut his carries down. He only has 8 carries for 15 yards in the second half. I think he'll still have some bigger numbers ahead. And I guess you could look at it and say maybe they, in their minds, they're trying to keep him more in the low 20s. But I don't see how they have success this year as a team and win enough games, excuse me, if there aren't some fourth quarters where he's getting like 8 carries in the fourth quarter.
Brad on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com says, is there any discussion or concern around the fact that we've had so many injuries the past couple of years? Is there a need to evaluate the overall fitness and care of the athletes? I honestly don't know and am curious. This is from Brad in Franklin.
Brad, if you aren't trolling me, if you are trolling me, I want to say thank you. That's a perfect one for the Wheel of Death. That's, I mean, that we can combine that along with the preseason snaps and Taylor Lewan stinks. And as the podcaster, we're getting a nice collection now.
We are.
But in all seriousness, we've talked about it. Vrabel was asked about it last year, and he's like, I mean, it's the trainer. Like,
I mean, the time's probably time's probably coming where he'll get asked about it this year too.
Yeah, and on, like on my column, The Athletic, there were some people in the comments yesterday, and I wrote back, I was like, look, last year it was hamstring virus, and so soft tissue. That's if I'm Amanda Strunk, I'm like, what are we doing here, guys? Like, what's going on? We not stretching enough. Yeah, different stretches. Like, what are we doing? So soft tissue stuff like last year, I think it's you got to internally ask the question, right? When you have someone with a concussion and an ACL and turf toe and a neck and a shoulder and on and on all these, what's a trainer doing? What is a trainer going to do to prevent these things? It's a violent game with some of the biggest, fastest, strongest athletes in the world smashing into each other. And the Titans have had bad luck. If there's something you're going to look at, then to me it's more John Robinson on the front end. How much are you doing in terms of evaluating if someone's injury prone or not? There's limitations on what you can do, but that's something that you can try to prevent. You can't stop people from being injured playing football.
I agree with everything you just said. I also, it's just really weird that this has happened to the Titans 2 years in a row to the extent in which it's happened. Very weird.
Yeah. No, I agree. No doubt about it. I mean, they need that luck to change. And internally, I'd be looking at everything too. Like, is there anything different that can be done, including, like, does someone have voodoo dolls that we need to take away from them?
I'd be looking into that for sure. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion. Got more of your thoughts to get to on the Titans coming up next. We'll also take a look at the Preds, their final preseason game yesterday. The real thing beginning later this week. Over in Prague as well. All that ahead. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, Robbie. And I'm asking the question, can you beat Vegas this football season? Superbook Sports gives you the chance every week to go head-to-head with the best odds makers in Las Vegas. No fancy computer algorithms, no guys across the pond setting lines for American sports, just the best team of odds makers in the business behind the counter at Superbook in Las Vegas. Want to take a look to Sunday? The Tennessee Titans play the Washington Commanders. Titans are favored by about 2.5. I'm locking the Titans down on the spread. Also going to take the Titans on the money line. You want to do some player props? Derrick Henry over on rushing and probably an anytime touchdown from him as well. Plus, Superbook features some of the best odds boosts and promo bets anywhere. So download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com and start your battle against Vegas right now. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text line. Liam on the text line says, that was great. Maybe have a weekly Troll Joe segment where texters can see who can get him going the most. It was kind of nice building right on top of each other last segment. Good stuff, Rex Road. I hope you enjoyed it.
Well, my life is a weekly as a Troll Joe segment. So come on. I mean, I get enough of this at home.
There is that. The preseason football comments were pretty good. Just keep them coming.
There's others though. Like we got those three. There's others though. There's others we're forgetting right now.
Oh yeah. There's all kinds of them.
Bye week.
Well, there's that.
That you said earlier this morning.
Mike Organ said bye week too, by the way. Just want to point that out. Team Organ.
Joe also so said it today too.
You did.
Yeah, I did. I trolled myself, which also happens a lot.
Joe, how much better do you think the Titans would be if they played their players in the preseason? Would they be 3-1, or would they have taken down Buffalo as well and be 4-0?
That's the thing, man. I mean, you get you get a few more series with Tannehill throwing a hoop where he probably goes for about 12 for 200, and they beat the Bills 42-41 instead of losing 41-7.
Yeah. Ron on the text line says, the Titans have only one wide receiver in team history that was added to the team and was successful, and that was our number one receiver, and that's Nate Washington. Everybody else that we've added to this receiving core has been garbage. This is from Ron on the text line.
So I assume we're talking free agents.
Free agents, I would assume.
Yeah, it's obviously been.
Do trades count?
It's been a toughie. Yeah, right.
I mean, look, Robert Woods hasn't been garbage thus far. I mean, he's not lighting it up. But Robert Woods, I mean, he's got a touchdown this past game against Indianapolis. I thought he played really well against the Raiders. Like, he's not AJ Brown out there, but I think Robert Woods has been fine thus far.
Yeah. He's going to lead him in receiving this year, so he will count as a free agent success story, as he would tell anybody if it wasn't like a media interview. He signed up to be the number two to AJ Brown. It would have been a real nice situation for him. It's a lot tougher being the number one when you're Robert Woods at this point in his career. But yeah, I agree. He's fine. He'll have a good season.
So here's a question for you to figure out, and going to be interesting to see what Todd Downing does about this week. I would assume with turf toe being the case, probably not going to see Treylon Burks coming up on Sunday against Washington. We've talked about Austin Hooper and just, you know, basically being on the side of a milk carton in this offense for the Titans thus far. So what are you doing in the passing game on Sunday against Washington? Like, you still are going to need to be able to throw the football with some regularity in this league to win games. So with no Treylon Burks, with tight ends that really haven't brought much to the table thus far, what are you doing if you're Todd Downing in this passing offense coming up on Sunday to try to generate something going down the field?
Well, I don't know about going down the field, you know, without Burks, and I definitely don't expect him out there. You try to scheme something up. I mean, hey, maybe you can scheme up Chig down the field. You know, I don't know, but I do think that you still, like, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine should still not have a target less game. And also, I think that Kyle Phillips is, as long as he can actually keep getting healthier, I think he's going to resume being a part of the offense. I mean, you saw in the first game that that was actually a camp thing that carried over Tannehill to Phillips, and it looked good, and I think it will again. They need that to return. So, but it's going to be a lot of dinking and dunking, right? You take Burks out of there, and you don't have McMath yet. You just don't have anyone really who's going downfield. Maybe you can get Robert Woods free for something. And I know there's been some questions sitting on the text line about Josh Gordon. I mean, he's around. They've evaluated him. They've looked at him. We know what he used to be. We know that last year in Kansas City, they had a need for someone to step in and make some plays on the field, and he didn't do that then or there either. So I don't think that that's going to be much of an answer.
I don't think it's going to be much of an answer either at this point. And, you know, maybe it's as simple as you're rolling with Robert Woods, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, and then you're hoping Kyle Phillips is healthy where you get some plays over the middle. Like, that may be the answer, is Kyle Phillips is healthier. He was a big part of the offense in week one against the Giants, and maybe that's what it'll have to be again in terms of he's just your slot weapon over the middle. I mean, it's pretty clear that when he's healthy, I think Tannehill has a good rapport with Kyle Phillips. I'm not convinced he was completely healthy this past week against the Colts, but maybe he will be by the time Sunday rolls around.
Yeah, and look, here's another one when we talk about evaluating guys who can stay healthy for you. John Robinson has gotten some, you know, obviously we know he's gone after guys who have been hurt, who have come off serious injuries. Sometimes it's worked out, sometimes it hasn't. I look at Kyle Phillips, and he's a nice player. He's effective when he's out there. He's also small and skinny, you know?
Yep,
and already immediately he gets a shoulder and he's crushed and he's out, and it's like, okay, so is that not going to continue? I mean, I don't know, maybe it won't, but it's not great that happens immediately, and it kind of confirms when you look at him physically, like, gosh, that guy's little to be in the NFL. So maybe this is explaining why, even though he was an explosive player, he went later in the draft, because some people probably had questions about his durability. Real quick, John on the text line absolutely knocked it out of the park. Let's add A.J. Brown was a cancer in the locker room. Oh, absolutely. Add that to the wheel of death. Titans should sign insert receiver here. Oh, yes. And then, of course, fire Downing. There's three more absolute slam dunks. Thank you, John.
Dennis on the text line says, I don't think Josh Gordon blocks good enough to be a wide receiver. Thank you, Dennis. You know how important that is.
Hey, listen. Say whatever you want. Westbrook, that Derrick Henry touchdown.
Well, don't you think they got that covered? Perfect. Don't you think they got the blocking wide receiver covered in this offense? I think they got a few of those.
Well, they do, but they need like they need that. Like they need it. This offense is so limited.
I mean, good Lord, Cody Hollister's out there blocking away.
Yeah, my goodness. Maybe they should like throw to him every once in a while if he's going to have that many snaps. Rishard Matthews brought up on the text line as a free agent. And then absolutely, yeah. Rishard Matthews was their best receiver in 2016. That surprisingly good season with Malarkey and, you know, Henry as a rookie and DeMarco Murray. I mean, Rishard Matthews was their best receiver. And then the next year, you know, they had Corey Davison as a rookie and he got mad and quit and cost himself a lot of money, which was pretty dumb.
You think the Titans bring anybody else in at receiver this week? And I'm not talking like Will Fuller or anybody like that, but could you see the Titans maybe working out some people this week? I don't know. Could Des Fitzpatrick get a look at some point? Who knows?
Sure. Add that one, too. But, yeah.
So you're reaching desperate times for desperate measures at this receiving core right now.
No, you are. You are. I just – yeah, and – you know, the Will Fuller thing, as someone pointed out, I think I think Kaharski mentioned this, but again, like when you talk about someone, if Mike Vrabel has been around someone for multiple years and then they never look at that player, like, and they had like reason to and opportunity to, I think you can probably cross that guy off the list, right? Like, I mean, Vrabel loves bringing in players. I mean, like Houston Texans to the Tennessee Titans, how many guys? So many guys.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Pruitt, nah. So if they haven't given a look to Fuller yet, I think that probably tells you something.
Also, like I will say I am kind of surprised that nobody's given him a look yet.
I agree.
28 years old. Now, he gets hurt all the time. I understand what Will Fuller is, but, you know, 4 weeks in and nobody's given him a look yet, that's a little surprising.
Yeah, like maybe he's just not fast anymore. I don't know. But, yeah, I'm surprised, too, that he hasn't had anything out there.
I got a texter that says, I wonder if there's any consideration for OBJ. Well, he's got to get healthy first. But I don't think that's happening either.
Pay him in Bitcoin again.
Well, could do that. Maybe a little bit cheaper. A little cheaper than he anticipated on that contract in Bitcoin.
That's true. Jared's selling Bitcoin.
That's
right?
What I saw.
Yeah, the crypto.
Maybe they can work it all out together. Yeah. I think OBJ is probably going to – he still has his locker with the Rams, right? Boy, they need some help.
I think that's probably where he's going to end up. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into the Predators, a very interesting preseason game yesterday, including one spot in their lineup right now that has my eyebrows raised a little bit heading into the regular season, which begins coming up on Friday in Prague. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, a really cool scene yesterday in Bern, Switzerland. The Predators playing in their final preseason tune-up before the regular season begins this Friday in Prague. They'll take on the San Jose Sharks Friday and Saturday before coming back to the States after that. But it's real. The regular season is upon us here with the Nashville Predators. A couple of interesting things in the preseason game yesterday. Number one, the goal scorers, about who you would expect. Roman Josi scores twice yesterday in his homecoming in Bern. I thought that was pretty cool. And then Philip Forsberg scores and Matt Duchene scores as well. So one takeaway I have, Joe, is the Predators have made the wise decision to not mess with that first power play unit that they had a year ago. It's probably going to work out pretty well for them. I think that's a pretty good decision by John Hines. Leave that thing alone.
Yeah, you definitely leave that alone. And then you see if maybe you can get a little bit more going with with power play too. How good would they be league wide if they can just get a little bit more out of that, maybe with Niederreiter helping out?
Yeah, that's got to be better this year, and I think it will be with Niederreiter in there. One thing that was pretty interesting yesterday, Joe, and I'm interested to see, is it a health thing? Is it just they want to start trying some different looks things? But Philip Tomasino not in there yesterday as they take on SC Bern in the preseason game, and over the last few days has not been with Nino Niederreiter and Ryan Johansson. He wasn't with them the other day when he did play in the preseason game last week. So I'm interested to see, what does that look like as regular season play begins on Friday? Does Tomasino move back there? Is he healthy enough to play? Do they start with Kiefer Sherwood playing with Ryan Johansson and Nino Niederreiter like he did yesterday? It's going to be really interesting to see what happens there. But that spot with Niederreiter and Johansson has been one that's been intriguing to me for a while. I've penciled in Tomasino there. And look, whether he starts there or not, he's going to get to look there at some point, and we'll see how it goes. But I do find it interesting that maybe that's not what they're going to start with in the regular season. Interested to see him on Friday.
Yeah, I'm a little confused. I mean, if he's not in the lineup at all yesterday, I would assume that has to mean health, right?
I mean, I guess maybe. I mean, they do have 27 guys right now. So, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. But, like, you feel like you'd sit out somebody else other than him. I don't know.
Right. And then, like you said, though, when he has been out there at times not working with that line, which I thought was a gimme, you know. This is, they need him to take that step. And maybe he just hasn't demonstrated enough progress. I don't know. I thought maybe some of the moving around might have had something to do with, you know, John Hines kind of, okay, let's have the young guy earn it. Let's kind of dangle it and say, okay, come get this spot. But I don't know. It's an interesting situation. Certainly he's in the lineup somewhere if he's healthy Friday and moving forward and all season long, right? I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. If he's not on that line, you know, then what do you, you know, is Sherwood actually a viable, you know, contender to get some time there, you think?
Look, he's played well in the preseason. He's not a top six forward. So I don't know if they want to get back into that dance of just like putting people in the top six that have no business being in the top six. Like, to me, you can't do that. If you're the Predators this year, you need to find something that works there. Like, to me, it either needs to be Tomasino or it needs to be Tolvanen. Like, one of those two guys needs to be there. If it's not going to be one of those two guys, I don't really know what you're doing there. I mean, I guess you could try Cody Glass up there if you want him to play the wing, but he's pretty much been at center, so I don't see them doing that either. I mean, to me, it needs to be one of those two guys.
Well, yeah, unless you're thinking more along the lines of, yep, Tanner Jeannot is ready to be that guy, and the herd line can be fine, you know, with somebody else in there. But I'd be surprised if that's how John Hines is thinking about it.
One thing I think they've for sure decided on, a couple of different things, as they head into kind of the short term here starting on Friday against San Jose. I feel like their defense pairs are pretty much set at this point. I think Roman Josi is going to start with Alex Carrier. I like the way that they've looked together for the most part. And I think McDonough is going to start with Ekholm. Ekholm's definitely going to be on the right, and they tried him with Josi the other day as well. But I just really like the makeup of McDonough, Ekholm together as kind of that shutdown pair. So I think they're going to start there. And look, I think Lozon and Fabro have looked pretty good together defensively. So I think those are going to be your six on defense. You'll see Borowiecki get in there every now and then, and you'll see him, you know, kind of bring that physical game to the table. But those six on defense to start with, I think those are going to be the pairings. And also, Joe, not that this is some big surprise, but they did kind of frame it as a backup goaltender competition heading into this year. I think it's pretty clearly Kevin Lankinen's job as backup goalie.
Yeah, and he's looked pretty good, so that's encouraging. If Lozon and Fabro are the third pairing all year, they're good. They solidify that spot, and that in tandem with McDonough gives you really a much stronger decor. Does that start to validate a second-round pick for Jeremy Lozon?
He'd have to play pretty well. But, yeah, I mean, look, he'd have to play pretty well. But, I mean, look, it's – You signed him into a 4-year deal. So if he's a good player for you for 4 years in that role, you know, is it worth the second round pick? I don't know. It depends on who you draft for the second round pick. Like if the second round pick turns into Roman Josi, probably not. Probably not worth it at that point. But that's the thing about these draft picks, especially in the NHL. Shane from the Borough on the text line says, I don't know who gets the other wing for the Rhino line, but I think Tomasino gets put with Glass and Tolvanen on the fourth line. Are we going Rhino line with Ryan Johansson and Nino Niederreiter? Are we already naming lines again?
Wow, a Rhino line and a Herd line. That's a lot of
it's a lot of force.
Yeah. I don't hate that. I don't hate Rhino line.
I know you don't.
Put them in the Smoky Grays.
Add that one to the Wheel of Death, the naming lines.
Yeah, now we can troll you.
I don't know. I mean, if the fourth line is going to be Tomasino, Glass, and Tolvanen, which I don't think it's going to be, by the way. But, like, who's playing second line at that? You put Zach Sanford up on the second line with Johansson and Niederreiter? Like, I don't think so. Now, look, I think there's a good chance that Glass and Tolvanen could be together to start the season. Like, Cody Glass, to me, I think he's made the team. And something to keep in mind, it is still at 27. So when they come back over to the States, they're going to have to cut the roster down from 27 to 23. Now, Connor Ingram's still with the team, too. And my guess is he's not going to be once they make that cut down. He's over there in Europe. So that's a goalie spot you can take away from it. They've got Jordan Gross still on the roster on defense as well. So he'll probably get moved down to Milwaukee as well. So, you know, you can start to weed away from 27 to 23 pretty quickly here if you're the Predators. But I think Cody Glass, based on what I've seen in camp thus far, I think he's done enough not only to make the team, but I think he's going to be in the lineup to start the season too.
Yeah, and that'd be, hey, look, if you can shore up your fourth line and he can be solid, okay, it's not what he was drafted to be, but that's still a good outcome for you, especially after the way things looked a year ago.
There's no question about it. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, do you have a word from OrderGreen.com?
I do, and OrderGreen.com is the nation's number one online shop for all things cannabis. By the way, you're talking edibles, gummies, vapes, flowers, you name it, they got it. A wide selection of high-quality THC, CBD products, great products. They've had tremendous benefits for me, some friends, including a friend who is going through some real tough health situations, and the OrderGreen.com products have been very helpful. Their team, very knowledgeable. You know you're getting high-quality stuff from reputable providers nationwide. Same-day delivery right to your doorstep. You get 25% off every shipment of gummies if you have a subscription. And if you use promo code JOE20, you get 20% off your first purchase at OrderGreen.com.
That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.